Once again, as we experienced last week, we have one of these feasts that the church has permitted to be celebrated not only on its actual day, which was Friday, the feast, the solemn feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, but also on this Sunday as an external feast. In particular, the church does this because she wants all her children, especially those who cannot come on weekdays because of work or other preoccupations that are of essential importance, that they may be able to celebrate and rejoice in these wonderful events of our faith. And of course, this particular feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus is a very central feast. And of course, it will be the last feast that will be celebrated with great solemnity, with the exception of the Feast of the Precious Blood of Jesus on July the 1st, and the Feast of the Assumption of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary in August, August the 15th. Other than that, all the feasts, important as they may be, and they are, St. Peter and Paul, and St. Paul, and the Roman saints, and so forth, they are great feasts, but not to the extent and the depth of this particular feast. Of course, this feast has been instituted by Holy Mother of the Church. In the last 350 years, the request of our Lord Jesus Christ when he appeared to the Visitation Nun, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, in Paray-le-Monial, so many years ago. But at the same time, this concept is a reality that is part of the faith and goes back to the very gospel, as we see in today's gospel. St. John sees, who is there, and testifies, and he reiterates that he was there and testifies to the truth, that our Lord was pierced in the side, and his heart was pierced. And from his heart issued forth blood and water. And of course, blood, because the heart is the central organ that pumps the blood throughout our bodies. In his, too, because he was truly man as well as truly God. But water, because with all the stress of the passion, the pericardium was filled with fluid, clear fluid. And so when he pierced the pericardium and then the heart, out came immediately, he says, blood and water. This not by coincidence or by chance. This happens because at that moment, on the cross, the church is born from the side of Christ, the new Adam, just as from the side of the first Adam was born Eve. And the Blessed Mother, the new Eve, stands there and receives the gift to her and the gift to us of the fact that she is the mother of the church, the mother of all the faithful. And we, with St. John, must do as he did and take her into our own, not only our homes, not only with beautiful images and art, which is very important for Catholics. You may go to some homes and you wonder what they are. And of course, iconoclasm is a heresy. Many hundreds or thousands of Catholics, priests and nuns, and all kinds of other Catholics died in the first millennium because of the heresy of iconoclasm in Constantinople and as it spread. So iconoclasm is a terrible heresy and a sin. So we have our homes adorned with the things that remind us of God. They do not deserve our worship, but they deserve our veneration, just as the statues here on the altar and throughout our church, the windows will manifest the saints that pray for us always. And so too with the Sacred Heart. Our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary, and He told her that he wanted a feast to be established to honor his most sacred heart. And then he complained that one of the greatest sins that mankind commits is the indifference towards Christ, our Lord. And you know, many times, you and I continuously say that we love God, we love Jesus, we love Mary, we love the saints, and then it ends as far as the word drops to the floor. Our lives are not filled with that love, for the most part. The indifference of men, no matter what our station in life, whether we are the Pope or bishops or priests or theologians or mothers and fathers or lay men and lay women, the center of our life must be the love of Christ, manifested in different ways. Yes, you cannot say Mass as I can say Mass. It is a different relationship, but you can be present before the altar. You can be present before the Most Holy Tabernacle and the real presence by the miracle of transubstantiation of our Lord in the tabernacle and on the altar, and when we receive communion. And last Sunday we rejoiced when 10 of our children received their first communion. And so each of us has a way, but we must have a way. How do we manifest the love of Christ in our lives, in our hearts, not just our words? Words are so cheap and so banal. They mean nothing if they are not filled with the substance of true love, of true charity. And of course, that charity must come to us from God. And it is the Holy Spirit now, especially in this time that remains of the existence of the world. And it is manifested in the liturgical season, the time after Pentecost. It is the Holy Spirit to whom we must pray for the love of God in our hearts, for the love of the church, for the love of the sacraments, for the love of his most holy and chaste spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so closely united to the most sacred heart of Jesus. And so therefore, on this feast, this extended feast, we need to pray all the harder, all the more, for love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For love of the second person of the Trinity, who became man so that he could suffer for us and gave us as a result the church and the sacraments on the cross. Let us pray that in the meantime, we can live in such a way and our spiritual life may be such that we may make a difference in the world of today, in the church of today. The church is afflicted by all the evils that surround it. And we can talk about it all we want to, but if we don't do something about it, then it's useless. We must pray, we must do penance, we must do sacrifice. And even the smallest little sacrifice, if done for the love of God, the smallest pain or hunger or thirst, if done for the love of Christ, can merit a lot of grace, a lot of indulgences, as we no doubt receive today, as we once again, before receiving Holy Communion, consecrate ourselves, our shrine and parish, our families, to the most sacred heart of Jesus. And let us remember that with which we have been reminded by St. John, that when we look at him in the Sacred Heart, And of course, we see them also in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist, though not with the eyes, but with the soul. We look on him whom we have pierced. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.